The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody from the Pacific Coast of California. Today is Sunday, June 12th, 2016, and this is Beyond the Gate Radio, and we welcome you. My name is David M. Baker. I'm your host, and we have two co-hosts today. Amazing, because this is an amazing show. So, Sherelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. I am excited to be here on this wonderful Sunday, and I also appreciate the help of our extra co-host, Kevin.
Thank you, Sherelle.
Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much. It's enjoyable to be back.
Thank you very much. And to tell you about our special guest tonight, now I know we just had a show yesterday, and we have a show tonight, so we are really keeping the public entertained this weekend. Jennifer Lundberg is our guest tonight. Let me just tell you a little bit about her before I bring her in. Jennifer is a leader in the self-discovery movement. She is passionate about sharing her story of transformation and how anyone, regardless of their circumstances and challenges, can begin today to create the life they have always dreamed. Through her workshops, retreats, conferences, and books, she inspires and empowers women to heal by breaking out of the patterns of limiting beliefs, negative thinking, and self-doubt by delivering the actual how-to steps that many speakers leave out. As her passion for sharing her message expanded, Jennifer created Embodied Grace, A Woman's Path to Empowerment, a book that everybody should read, a book dedicated to helping women find their freedom and success by identifying their self-worth, aligning their true desires with intentional, daily, actionable steps, and claiming the right to drive their own passion or personal transformation. As a certified NLP practitioner, herb specialist, certified Reiki master, and yoga instructor, Jennifer teaches and guides her audiences to understanding how the brain mind works, identifying subconscious roadblocks, defining the nasty little mean girl, and helping them recognize and heal limiting beliefs and patterns of negative self-talk. She empowers her audiences to become their best selves, whether it is in their personal lives, relationships, health, or even business. She provides the roadmap on how to peel back the layers and overcome obstacles. For example, Katie Celesty, internationally known interspecies communicator, author, and educator, said, "I was very impressed with Jennifer's focus and clarity." Now, if you want to find out more about that and Jennifer, go to jenniferlonberg.com. That's www.jenniferlonberg.com. You got to go there, and you have to check out her book as well. So without any further ado, we welcome Jennifer to Beyond the Gate Radio Show. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, you guys, all of you, David, everybody, Cheryl. I'm
Thank
so
you
excited
for being
to be here.
Here.
We are excited to have you here. You know, the show is, you know, besides paranormal and spirituality, I think that there's a large base of spirituality, and it's not just giving somebody a reading or telling what happens when you die, but what is your real purpose when you come here? And we all are different. We're a family on earth together. How can we help each other, you know? And sometimes you have to go to different, you know, you have to go to a healthy grocery store to get some foods that you can trust. You have to go to a farmer's market to make sure you're getting fresh grown produce that's healthy for you. Well, sometimes you need to hang out or speak to somebody that can make you spiritually, mentally, or physically healthy again too. None of us on earth can do it alone. We all need help, whether it's the spiritual, going to our creator, to the church, or to a friend. But, you know, when somebody like you comes along that has the answer, because that is your gift, and we look forward to you for answers, and that's why we're thankful for people like you. You know, I know, you know, men or women or anybody I know can come to you, and you can help us, because sometimes we dig a hole, we just can't get out, so we have to look in another direction. So, Jennifer, you're one of those light workers, those old souls that come here to help a lot of people. So before I go on further, I know that you have abilities too, but because a person has certain abilities, they don't have to use them in the traditional sense. They can use them for healing or helping besides telling about one's future. So the first question I want to ask you as we progress, just so people are a little bit more familiar with you, when did you feel in your life that something was different about you, and how did you deal with that?
You know, I've always been, ever since I was young, and I grew up in a traditional church, Methodist church, and when I was little, we would be in church, and I always saw Jesus and the angels. And so I've seen them forever. I don't think I realized I was different until probably, you know, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. Because I think when I was small, everybody thought, oh, how cute, you know, you know, and they just kind of played it off. And then as I got older, was when I realized that not everybody could see the things that I could see. And so it was probably in there. My family was pretty good about it. I mean, my mom tried to be supportive, even though maybe they didn't really understand it, but mostly it just, we just didn't talk about it. So by the time I was a teenager, at that point, Sylvia Brown was on TV.
Oh.
And I remember my mom saying, if we could just meet somebody like her, because we lived out in the middle of nowhere, very, very small community in Southeast Colorado. There wasn't anybody around that had any gifts like I did. And again, like I said, being in the church, we just didn't talk about it. So I don't know where I had decided at some point that it was not good for me to let people know that I had the gifts that I have, but I did try to shut it down after that. So once I was, you know, 15, 16, 17, I tried to shut it down, if you can even do that. And all it did was create anxiety, stress, depression, panic attacks at one point. And I finally, even though I was trying to shut it down, things would still happen. So throughout my life, things just always still happened. And finally, a few years ago, I just threw up my hands and I said, okay, God, you did this to me, so show me what to do with it or take it away.
Right.
And that day, instantly, literally instantly, within minutes, I felt like my whole house was just bombarded with spiritual beings and angels and spirit guides. And I was like, wait a minute, this has to go a little bit slower. So
right.
I had to have everything back up a little bit and take things a little bit slower. But since I did that, and since that day, in the same basement right now where I'm at, my office is in the downstairs of our house. So we have a walkout basement, and that's where I'm at. But I was in this house in the basement when I made that decision to say, either take it away or show me what to do. And ever since then, it's been on a runway. I feel like I'm on an airline runway with lights on both sides. And as long as I stay within the runway, I know I'm doing what I'm being called to do.
That's amazing. I grew up with a gift as well, and we had Michelle Whitedove on the show last night. We were talking about, you know, how do you turn this stuff off? And basically, she said what I said: you don't. But you can pretend like there's a dimmer switch and just like turn it down. But sometimes when it's time, you know, for you to take the next step, something happens, and something happened to me different than yours because my path is different than yours. And so you paid attention to that, and you decided that, well, you know, I have this tremendous gift, but instead of becoming like Sylvia Brown and others, instead of sitting down kitchen table and say, okay, you know, you better break up with that boyfriend. He's not good. And your father's here telling you that, you know, he loves you, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. What made you go? I mean, how did you reach the path where you said, no, my goal is
to help people?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So it's really interesting because when I started this whole path of trying to help people feel better with their life, you know, in the book, it talks about, you know, is that all you can ask for? Like, is life only supposed to be just so or just so good? So I was really on a quest to try to make people feel better. And I was actually doing health consulting, and I love herbal remedies. My family, we hardly ever go to the doctor unless, you know, somebody breaks a bone and needs surgery. But everything we do is herbal remedies, essential oils, those kind of things is how we do that. So I was actually a health coach doing biofeedback and helping people understand what they needed to help themselves feel better. But what was happening was everybody was coming to me with a physical problem, but there was emotional stuff tied to it. And like I said, the psychic gifts were kicking in at that point because I remember one really distinct one. And I said, did you happen to, you know, do this and be around a place where there was like something? And I don't remember exactly the scenario, but it was like bacteria. And he was like, well, yeah. And I said, well, we need to get you cleaned out. Because, and then he freaked out. Like in the middle of it, he was like, oh my God, how did you know that? And so it was turning back on full-fledged here a couple of years ago. And that was when I was like, okay, I'm freaking people out now in their bio. Like, this was just health stuff. This shouldn't have anything to do with going to get a psychic reading. I'm just telling them they need magnesium, you know? And so it turned into slowly combining those together. And then everything else has just flowed. What I found is that a lot of people now in this day and age, especially, they want that quick fix. So they want to take a pill. They want to make it feel better faster. But a lot of the things that I was seeing with physical ailment was turning, it was actually had an emotional thing back to it. So like his was different because he got into bacteria, but a lot of people I was seeing, you know, like they would come in and I would see something that could help them with depression, like some kind of an herbal supplement that would help them with that. But in myself, I would see that either they were, you know, they were fighting with somebody or they were stressed out financially, or these things were coming to me so fast that I had to look at it in more ways than just being in that health space of physical health. So that's when I started looking into life coaching and learning about what neuro-linguistic programming was. I had never even heard of it. And then one day it kind of showed up and I thought, well, that's interesting. So I studied that because when it comes down to the basics of it, it's just the pathways in our brain, the neural pathways in our brain, and how we think and how we talk actually creates patterns that we carry with us forever. So it's like riding a bike. So if you have this negative thought pattern, you've learned it over the course of time. But what happens is like riding a bike in the beginning, you have to say, my hand goes here, my other hand goes here, my feet go on the pedals and I push forward, right? Well, now you and I both know we've already learned how to ride a bike. So that pattern is already there. And that happens with limiting beliefs, negative thinking. Any of the core beliefs that we have are kind of ingrained, and I know that sounds funny, but it really is. It like creates pathways in our brain, and we automatically think that way without even thinking about how we're thinking.
So you see that person walking down the street with a cloud, they're under a cloud, you know, and say, come on, get out of that cloud. I can't. That's where you come in. And, you know,
exactly.
My wife is psychic medium like me, but she doesn't want to do it. She just went through the stuff that I did just to support me. And then my younger sister is also the same, but she's not really doing it right now. She went on to become a Reiki master and all that. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about that as well, because, you know, that's my sister's past as well, too. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring Kevin in because I wanted to ask you, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic, and I got out of it and went become Evangelical Methodist. And then I went to different churches trying to find out which religion I liked the best. And my wife is from another religious background. So, you know, you're thinking about, well, I'm in church and maybe some portions of the teaching teaches that this is not what I'm doing. But you see Jesus, like I have seen myself personally. And you're thinking that you're on the fence, like, is it right? Is it wrong? Whatever. Kevin, what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's just like, for example, we've said in Scripture that Jesus said, you know, he who believes in me will do what I have been doing. What was Jesus doing? He was healing people spiritually as well as physically. You have the example in Scripture of the man who was let down through a roof who was paralyzed. The first thing Jesus said was, your sins are forgiven. He took care of the spiritual healing first. And then he says, I say to you, young man, rise up, take your bed and walk. And he did. And what was amazing to me in Jennifer's techniques, I read her book, Refuse It, and I've talked with her since as well, and that the steps she has, you know, she says, these were given to me by Jesus and the angels, but the fact is that I took her seriously when I realized that I could support everything that she did biblically. For example, she has, well, what is your first step you're going to take in making your change? Well, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, okay, you guys have had 3 years of training, now go out and take down the world. He said, no, first step is wait for the gift my Father promised, the Holy Spirit. Second step, you're going to be a witness of me in Jerusalem. So, third step, you're going to be a witness of me in Samaria. And so there were steps along the way very similar to what Jennifer's already written in her book.
Yes.
That just gave me chills, Kevin. I didn't even realize that.
Well, Kevin gives us chills all the time. That's why we love having him on there, because if you talk anything about the church or the gifts or anything like that, I just bring my reinforcements in Kevin. You know, he's done the research, he has the knowledge, and he knows. And his wife is psychic as well, too. And I guess it was proven to him years ago. But, you know, now I want to ask you a little bit about Reiki. Now, you know, some medical doctors these days treat certain patients for certain things. And occasionally some of the medical doctors say, well, I've helped you as much as I could. But to get to the rest of the help, we need to bring in a Reiki practitioner to help your healing process. And I said, wow, that's amazing. People's minds are finally starting to open up because this is authentic. It's real, and I've experienced it. So what can you tell me a little bit about Reiki?
For me, it was funny because I didn't even think about Reiki, but, you know, we all have kind of a tendency to lay hands on and heal. Like, think about if you're around, a child and they don't feel good, what do you want to do? You want to hold them. You want to rub the area. You want to pat their back. You want to give them love and healing, even though that might not be really what you think it is, right? You just think you're comforting them. But the way that it made sense to me was, you know, I knew in the Bible that it says we can lay on hands and heal. And then I had never even thought about that I would be an energy healer in that sense either, except a friend of mine who is also psychic came up to me and she goes, the angel said we need to get you attuned for Reiki. And I said, okay. So I went through that. And it's so funny because I'm very analytical and I'm very scientific as well as being psychic and Christian, which none of those seem to really go together, but somehow for me, they all blend together. And so I wanted to understand, well, if that's the case and what we're doing is moving energy, then we learn, you know, third grade science, everything's energy. That means our body's energy. We know that electrical impulses are what create things to happen in our body. So to me, it's almost like our body is a house and we have breaker boxes. And if a breaker gets, you know, clogged up or blows or whatever, then the energy won't flow there. And to me, that's how Reiki is. It's not what I was taught. This is all my interpretation of how it makes sense to me and how I use it. So what I do is, and you can go through with a Reiki and go through a person's body and see, Is there something blocking it? Is there a pinch in the line? Is there a knife stabbed in their back? Because energetically speaking, sometimes there will be an energetic knife stuck in their back and they don't understand why they have pain. Well, it's because at some point that energetic idea of somebody doing that to them has literally stuck, because everything's energy. Our words are energy. Our actions are energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our movement is energy. Everything around us is energy. So when you say those words, that's why it says in the Bible about, you know, your mouth, your tongue can be a sword. Kevin, what is that verse? Your tongue can be a sword?
I know that there's a part where it says that God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, but I think what you're talking about is in James chapter 3, where he says, you know, our mouths can be full of blessing and of deadly poison.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm not in a position to quote it exactly here, but, you know, it's you know, discussion by him that our words are indeed powerful.
Right. And so our words are powerful, and we don't want to speak death over anything. So what happens is when we're speaking these negative things, and especially if we don't understand what they do, if we speak something negative to somebody and they're in a place of vulnerability, it can cause an energetic wound. And so there's all kinds of different aspects to it. And like I said, I don't know that that's traditionally how it's taught. I think it's more about moving the energy and making everything flow and getting your body grounded and things like that. But the way that I've tweaked it to work for me and how I help people when I do energy work with them is by looking at it as a whole, finding out what's in your aura, what's in your body, where is it cut off, why is it not flowing, and going from there.
You know, you just brought something to my attention that I just now realized, and I should have known all along, or maybe I thought about. I mean, you have these special gifts, you know, you're intuitive and all that, and when you apply it to what you're doing, it makes it easier to see what's going on with the physical and energetic body of the person. I said, oh my goodness, no wonder, you know, you're really good, you know, when you use it that particular way. It's amazing. And then another thing you just said, which I always believed, and that is, if I hear, like, if somebody is hurt by the church because they have the gift, so Kevin comes along and starts speaking to them. You hear Kevin's voice, then you feel comforted and trusting. You believe what he says. It makes sense. And then when you hear the voice and the words, you start automatically to get a healing, or you can use that combined with what you do. So that mm-hmm. does make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's so simple, and everybody thinks it's so hard. You know, I think that a lot of it is just, like I said, the way my mind works, I have to be like, okay, now what does this really mean, and how does it really work for me? And then, but what I'm finding is it's easier for people to understand sometimes, too.
That's true.
Well, you have an amazing gift. I mean, you know, I try to, in a limited way sometimes when I do my talks or readings, to do things like you do, but it's just, you know, I mean, I just don't have the gift for doing things like that like you do. You know, I have my specialty and you have yours, so that's why I'm really impressed by what you do. And
well, and everybody has their own gifts, because like for you to do a medium, like to just do a medium reading, that's not as easy for me. So everybody's gifted differently, and we all have a purpose.
Kevin already told us in his book about Corinthians and other Bible quotes about spiritual gifts. And, you know, Kevin's right, because I totally believe in what the scripture says about that. And you're a prime example right now. You know, you're unique, because I've had many different people on the show, but not somebody exactly like you. And that's why we need to learn from you tonight. Isn't that right, Kevin?
I would definitely agree. Again, too, as I just said earlier, everything that I have seen through reading Embodied Grace, as well as talking to her, sometimes it may not come to me right away, but it will occur to me later, yes, you know, the steps that she does, the processes, has all been exampled in Scripture, or that Jesus did them himself.
That's a good example. And why can't, you know, I think our Creator gave us certain things that we're allowed to do. We're not allowed to fly, so we had to build airplanes. I can't flap my wings. I can't walk through a wall. But, you know, we have the ability to, if Jesus was able to heal and perform miracles and certain things, and he said, you will be able to do as I do, and therefore there are some people out here doing as he did, you know what I mean? And that's totally palatable. I believe it. And but see, the thing is, there's not enough people out there that somebody is stuck under a dark cloud in a very, very negative way, and they don't know how to get out of it. And that's where Jennifer comes along, and she can help them out, because we all need help from somebody sometime. And Jennifer, I'm sure you've helped many, many people get out of that dark dungeon, haven't you?
Well, you know, and the thing too that I want to put in here about the book is this first book. It's a woman's path to empowerment. I've been told by many men that I should not have said a woman's path, because they have really enjoyed it as well. So it's just empowering yourself to even know that you can make changes. And so this first book is not spiritual at all. It's really just kind of tools for self-help of, okay, I want to make my life a little different. I want things to be better. Now, how do I do it? And so it's really making it to where it's accessible for anybody in any stage of their life, wherever they're at. And if they are in that dark cloud, then let's find some simple step to help you get to the edge of the cloud. And then when you get to the edge, then maybe take another simple step to kind of get out from under it. And then take another step after that to get free of it. Instead of having to be just change everything so drastically and do it all overnight, let's just do what's workable, do what's easy, and figure out where you are now. Like, a lot of times what happens with people is, they'll say, well, you know, I don't even know what I want, but my life is just not good right now, and I want things to be better. Okay, well, so my first question is, what do you want? Well, when they say, well, I don't even know what I want, then I have to say, okay, what do you don't want? What is it that you don't want in your life anymore? You know, I don't want to be exhausted anymore. I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want to be depressed anymore. So once you know what the don't wants are, then you can transform those to positive statements. So I want to be well rested. I want to be happy. You know, I want to find joy, whatever that looks like. And then once they kind of can switch that, because sometimes we get so used to saying, I don't want this anymore, that we don't even know what it is we really want. So it's kind of making that kind of deciphering in even switching that of how you speak. And so when you kind of can slowly figure out what you want more of, you know, I want more happiness. Okay, well then great. Now, what would that look like? We know it doesn't look like that now in your life. So what does that look like? Does that look like, you know, 5 minutes of sitting in the sunshine? Does that look like, you know, being able to get a Starbucks once a week? Or don't overthink it to make it seem like it has to be some drastic transformation. There are tiny little things you can do along the way to make things happier in your daily life. You know, grab some flowers when you go to the grocery store. You know, it can be very, very simple. And so in my book, that's what it's mostly about, especially in this first book. It can be as big or as small as you want the transformation to be.
Well, you're so spot on about all of that. You know, just sometimes it's the simple things. I'm thinking outside the box. And it's just like I said about my situation over 40 years ago. That exactly. What do you want? And I looked at the people driving cars, going to work with families. I said, I want what they have. And what are you waiting for? Go do it. So it makes you like want to stop complaining while you're on the couch every time I see you. Get off that couch and go do something. Go make it happen. It's like people at work. You have a great career and benefits and a home and family. Why are you complaining from the time you get here to the time you leave? You know, what's wrong in your life? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. Sometimes, I know, Jennifer, what is it? Is it just somebody stuck in there, you know, and it keeps repeating, and they just don't know how to get out, or what's going on with them?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is, this kind of goes back to way back in my journey of when all this, like when this part of what I'm doing now, where I'm at in my life now, and the book and the coaching and getting out there on a bigger platform and all of that happened was in a Bible study. I don't even know how many years ago it's been now, probably 8 years ago. I remember there was a section on it on generational sin, and it was like a light bulb went off for me that my family's generational sin was negativity. It doesn't have to, the sin doesn't have to be something overly dramatic either. it can be something as simple as negativity. So I kind of was in that space of nothing's ever good enough, it's never enough, all of those kind of things. And I thought, if I could break that, that would be amazing. It would shift everything. And it did. Like, that alone led me on this whole self-discovery of, like, what am I really searching for? And what am I really missing? And why is nothing ever good enough? And so I think some of it gets passed down in generations. I think some of it gets passed down in community because of, you know, where you live and the vibration that you're in. So going on the basic side of it, but then if we bring in the metaphysical side, we also know that everything is a vibrational energy. So vibrational energies match, right? So if you're in a low vibration community, it's going to be really weird for you to vibrate at a higher level because it's not going to match. And I kind of equate it to like a piano. Like if you get a key that's off key, it's going to feel really funky and it doesn't sound very good because it doesn't, the resonation doesn't match.
Right.
So
right.
So the vibration of you get used to being in that vibration. So chances are whoever they're around 95% of the time is in that same vibration that, you know, nothing's ever good enough and it's miserable to have to go to work and life is hard and all of those things that we learn just through, I mean, it's just the way that America is right now. Like that's what you're supposed to do. You get up, you go to school, you get a job and you work. And that's all you really learn. Like we don't teach how to be happy in elementary school, right?
That's right.
I agree. And you know what? It's funny. There's even wealthy people that have it made and they're miserable. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be anybody. So you mentioned in your second book, could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
So the second book is, I'm just starting to kind of get the pieces together to actually form it into a book. I don't have a release date yet. I don't know what it is going to, like, how that's all going to play out. But it's going to be more on the spiritual side of it because I feel like this first book was really important to put out first. Because the first thing you have to decide is to be intentional about your life. And so if you're going to be intentional about your life, you've got to learn to be a little bit more present. You've got to learn to, you know, be intentional about drinking enough water every day and taking vitamins and eating healthy foods and those kind of being intentional about what you're thinking about so that you're having happy thoughts, right? I don't think for me, I feel like many more people are going to fall into or find that true spirituality, which this next book will be more about enlightenment and how to really connect to source and how to really, you know, find God and feel it and live it. But I feel like you need to take those first steps first to kind of clear out some of the clutter so that there's more room for light to come in. So the next book is going to be more the spiritual side of it, of, you know, more about my story as far as psychic, what it means, how to meditate. It's amazing. People are like, well, I want to meditate, but I really don't know how. And I know that sounds so weird in this day and age, but especially where I'm at, it's a rural community out in the middle of, you know, nowhere. People don't know how to meditate and they don't know what it means. You know, sometimes they think it's some weird occult thing and it's like, it talks about prayer and meditation in the Bible. So to me, it's the same. So it's just taking away people's fear about everything, you know, fear about the things that they need to do to keep their body healthy. And then stepping into the psychic stuff for me so that other Christians, I feel like I'm being called right now to reach out to the Christians who have these gifts that are afraid. So the next book is going to be more about, you know, finding your own enlightenment, really, really tuning into your own spirituality, making that good connection with God, knowing that there's spiritual help all around us that we just don't tap into.
So besides nourishment that does the body good, also on the spiritual side, meditation, for example, even Dr. Oz, for goodness sakes, endorses meditation on TV because... Besides the physical body that needs to be healed and taken care of, so does, you know, the spiritual body. And you know, I've meditated for a long time, and that always makes me feel great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things, all the tools that you have that you're putting in your basket and the series of books, you go from the basic, the first book, and then people get to that point and go to the second book. I mean, it seems like you're giving them a limitless venue for really improving their lives. I mean, going on and even staying there, and maybe the people that read your books will tell everybody else about, hey, how come you're so great, you know, and well, you got to read this book, you know, I mean, this fantastic person. I mean, you know, do you speak at in certain engagements to deliver your message?
I do. I speak right now. It's usually women's groups. And I have an abundance speech that I do too, because again, it's all vibration, law of attraction, and fear. So I actually just spoke at a women's real estate investment conference, and I was speaking on the fears that we have about taking the next step with financial, because people are so afraid, and it's just like anything else. Like, what are the fears? Clear them out. And now what are the right steps that you need to take? So it's that mindset. That, of course, is not the psychic part of it. It's just more helping them get rid of fear that they have. So the negative thinking and the nasty little mean girl is what I talk about in my book. And I don't know what I would call that for men, but I'm sure you guys have a voice too that kind of tells you. But women especially, it's like you got this little nasty mean girl in the back of your head that is like on your shoulder telling you things that you're not good enough and that you don't look good enough and you're not pretty enough or whatever. And so it's learning how to quiet that and really following what feels right to you.
That's funny that you should put out a book that mentions women, which is absolutely nothing wrong with it, understandable. And the guys are reading it too, you know, like behind the wife's back, oh, this is a good book, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not a nasty mean girl, I'm a jerk. And how can I unjerk myself? But
there
you know, there you go. But
Kevin
and Sherelle, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask some questions as well.
Okay. So I also, this is really exciting too, Jennifer. I was thinking about what you said and how the young man said, you know, maybe you shouldn't have written it for women only. Well, this is for women, but also that they read it. And it's funny sometimes how they get, you know, not lured into reading it, but they think, well, this got to be something. I got to understand the minds of women or something like that. But we do have that ongoing dialogue that little thing that kind of makes those talks in the back of our heads. And that would take care of if we can learn how to make that in a more positive instead of just speaking words of negativity, that makes a big difference, because that's what we hear all the time. You know, the glass ceiling, you know, right now with the, you know, all the political things coming out. Oh, it's the glass ceiling and you can't do this because you're a woman or blah, 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 blah. Or you can't, you know, you should be at home and just be a homemaker, or you should be over here and just accept what you have. But in order to make it to the move, the next step, you're right. We do have to get out of our own way a lot of times just mm-hmm. to make it there. And I haven't had an opportunity to read the book yet, but I am going to read your book.
Oh, good. I'm so excited. Yeah, that nasty little mean girl, like I don't name her. I've spoke on it. I have another workshop that I do called 5 Simple Steps to Embodied Grace. And I do talk about the nasty little mean girl in that one. And it's really funny because I had one of the ladies tell me, she goes, I heard you. She had heard me like a month or something before that. And she goes, I named my nasty little mean girl. And now I just say, shut up, whatever her name is. And
that's
I started
good.
Off and I said, you know what? That sounds good. I didn't even name mine because I figured she didn't deserve a name.
There you go.
But
know,
it's really
funny
because the more you practice it, the less you'll hear that. And it really is just getting yourself in that good mind space of being more positive. And I was just talking to a friend the other day and she was worried about something. And I've kind of been working with her a little bit too. And, but just, you know, slowly but surely, cause she's a friend. So I'm not going to like force my coaching down her throat or anything like that. But
I said,
you know, I almost don't worry anymore. And she was like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, I don't even know how to explain it because I was the top. I could have been the best worry wart you've ever met in your life back in the day. You know, I was OCD, everything had to be just right or else something was going to go wrong. And I was always constantly in that anxiety state. And through the stuff that I've done and through the processes that I'm trying to teach everybody, because once I realized this for myself, I thought, you know, I spent all of these years and all of these gurus and all of these books and all this self-help stuff. And I realized how simple it was. And I thought, you know, I just figured this out and it took me years and I could do it in weeks for somebody else. So it's just practicing. It's practicing telling that nasty little mean girl to be quiet and that you don't want to listen to her and that you're going to choose to listen to your soul instead and know that everything's going to be okay.
Wow.
That's what I like about you and your book. You know, oh, I got this stack of books from all these gurus on my table, and I get a little bit from each one, but not the whole answer. But your book, your book. Throw away that stack. You just need one book. Your book. You have the answers. And every now and then somebody comes along like you that does have the answer. You only need to read one book or listen to you speak. And that's what's another thing that's amazing about you. You really have the gift. You're meant to do this. And so just buy your one book, and then the next one comes out. If you read the first one, you got to read the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, I think that people should go see you in person and talk to you about it and ask questions and hear you speak, because just, you know, listening to you on the radio here, I feel really good. Like, you know, I feel maybe I'm getting a healing from you. I don't know.
Well, thank you. Well, I hope so. That would be amazing. So, and you know, all of this is not, I mean, the one thing that I've got to say is this is not just me. Like, if I didn't choke it up or suck it up or whatever you want to call it and say, okay, I'm putting my fears aside, I'm going to do what I'm being called to do, then this wouldn't happen, right? The book would never have happened because it just flowed out. My coaching program, when I started deciding to put it all together, it just all came together. It didn't seem like work. And so that's how I know it's divinely inspired.
It is.
Even though it's not a spiritual book, this process is divinely inspired to help people kind of come back to themselves, because I feel like we're so stuck in the rat race of just going to work and coming home and going to bed and getting back up and going to work again. And, you know, even with my Embodied Grace conferences, that's what I wanted. And the whole reason I made that conference, even though, you know, it's kind of geared towards entrepreneurial women, but it's to find their way back to love, because that's what's really important.
That is important. That is important.
And the fact that you say it's not, you know, a spiritual book, but the word love just denotes spirituality in it, because, you know, if there's a positive message, you could kind of look at it that way too. I know it's not about psychics, mediums, and ghosts and all that, but the message, though, is, you know, you're channeling it through the Creator, and it is spiritual in nature to a certain extent, because anything that helps other people is not a human trait. It's from the Creator, which is pure love. So, yeah, it's not, you know, like a spiritual book you find on the shelf with ghosts and hauntings and stuff like that, or, you know, the Dalai Lama, whatever, but it should be in that category, because it's just because it's not, or does not have that label on it, doesn't mean that it's not part of that, you know. If somebody reads those books, they need to read your book too. It's all part of the same program, for goodness sake, you know?
Right, exactly.
But whatever resonates, so that's the thing, whatever resonates with
and
a
that's
person.
Exactly, yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, I still have a stack of books. I love books. Like, the more I can learn, the better. And it's funny too, because when I speak, I always tell people, and I don't remember if I put this in the book or not, but if I give you an aha moment, fantastic. But if I ruffle your feathers, even better.
Right.
You got my attention now, for sure.
Yeah.
So
she did that with me too.
She did that with you too? Let me hear it.
Yep, I'm listening.
Well, I took my notebook down. I first wrote read the entire book to give her a review, because, again, I felt a man needed to say that this book is for all people and not just an empowerment book. But I went then back through it and handled the book the way Jennifer intended, which is have a notebook beside you. If anything comes to your mind, whether it be positive, negative, you know, if it reacts with you, ruffles your feathers, take note of it, write it down, think about it. And one of the things that crossed my mind, you know, when I was thinking, okay, what is holding you back? Why is it you don't have what you want now, which is what she said in her book. You know, it crossed my mind. I thought, I have had a back of my mind resistance to selling because I would hate solicitors. Not hate the person, don't get me wrong there, but I'm saying that I hate somebody trying to sell me something.
Right.
And I was actually creating a blockage in my mind without being aware of it, you know, because I would think in terms of Jesus's golden rule, you know, basically do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Matthew 7:12. And I thought, if I don't like having somebody sell something to me, that actually was turning into a block of, like, I don't want to do that to others. But one thing Jennifer brought out in a talk with me, she says, actually, you think about it, one other thing you said, is your real block. And she says, that is to say that every time I try to earn something, everybody's going to take it away anyway. She says, that's the lie. She says, I know you can find the truth in Scripture. And she said, I want you to find three truths to refute that. I came up with Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, Psalm 113, 15 through, 13 through 15. And then the last one, which was really powerful, was Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, which basically said, one person gives and yet gains all the more. Another withholds and only comes to poverty. And I thought, okay, it's not a matter of it taken away. It's a matter that I had forgotten in some of the hard times we had in the previous year. I thought, I've forgotten how to give out of generosity, out of the heart. And as Jennifer pointed out to me, as God nudges you or prompts you to give in the way that you need to, but you, there's the biblical truth and principle, you know, that if you give, you're going to gain all the more, and there's not going to be somebody out there snatching it from you as you increase your gain.
That's right.
You know, Kevin, you must be psychic, because I was just going to ask her, without giving away her book, name me a first step or one of the steps that you could take, and you just named it by taking the notes there. That's amazing. Secondly, you know, I know this is what Jennifer would agree with. Like when I've talked to people in the past, I ask them that they're stuck in a place to try something different, you know, for a day or two or whatever, just to try it out. And they say, well, I this and what I said, look, you're doing it yourself. There's no charge. It's free if you try it. Just try it as a test, you know. I mean, isn't that right, Jennifer? Just
It is. And, you know, the one thing that usually it's so funny, because I'm going to just go back to money since we're kind of a little bit there anyway. Not that you have to give in money. You can give in your time. You can give in your love. You can give in your energy. There's all kinds of ways to give. Okay, so don't think it has to be financial. But a lot of people who want to work with me are like, well, I need more money. You know, the financial piece is there. So the one thing that I can tell you that is probably by far the best and easiest way to start shifting your situation with your checkbook is when you get ready to pay your bills, don't sit down with the attitude of, oh, great, we're going to be broke. I've got to pay all the bills. All my money's going out the window. Instead, take a step back and pray over your checkbook and be blessed and happy and thankful that you have enough to pay the bills. Be
That's
grateful
right.
to the electric company for giving you the electricity before you paid for it. Be grateful to the water company. Be grateful that you have the money to cover it. Right. And bless your money instead of looking at the lack of. Be happy and be grateful for what you have. And then it'll open up the law of attraction, the vibration for it to come back to you even more. Because if you don't like money, it's what's it going to do for you? But if you can look at it, not for the love of money, but by loving the money that you have so that you can do good with it. Right. So.
Right.
I know that verse kind of gets tricky. It's not for the love of money. It's just that you're loving it so that it can do what you need it to do. It's like a tool. Like a really good, you know, craftsman is not going to not take care of his hammer. He's going to take care of his hammer, know that it's in the right place, know that it's taken care of in the toolbox, whatever. He's not going to throw it in the mud and not worry about it. He's going to take care of it, right? So same thing with our money. If you can take
care
of it.
Yes, Jennifer gave me a great example in one of the three truths I'd written down, Proverbs 3:9. It said, honor the Lord with your substance. And she pointed out to me, you know, that so many times over the years, that verse was used by church leaders to say, oh, that means you're supposed to give the first of your earnings to the church, when in reality, Jennifer pointed out, there are many ways to honor the Lord. Like she just used the hammer example. Or doing something that would be pleasing. In other words, we were just talking yesterday on the phone that some people might go out and buy a $12,000 suit that's fancy, but we think, what would have honored the Lord with that $12,000? Would it have been to meet a need? Would it have been to help guide somebody, get them started in the right way? You know, what other things can you do besides just giving the money that really honors the fact that the Lord gave it to you?
Wow. That is powerful.
I guess you have to be grateful for what you have, whatever your position is. Like if I was somebody disabled, for example, in a wheelchair, you know, there's something to be learned from that. But if I have the chair so I can have mobility, if I'm able to eat, if I'm intelligent, smart, and a good person, I just happen to have this one little thing, doesn't matter. I'm thinking about, well, would I rather be here or would I rather be sleeping on the street in filth, mm-hmm. eating out of trash cans, be addicted to drugs, and occasionally go to jail and all that. Now, I'm sure those people realize whatever it is that they, what little it is they have to be grateful for. But, you know, sometimes if you compare yourself to what others have, you know, look in another direction, that can also make you grateful for what you have. Because what you just said about not having maybe a lot, but what the little that you have does for you, it keeps you going. And you're totally right about that.
There.
One of the things I discovered, you know, that what Jennifer said about paying the bills, it doesn't have to refer to a utility bill or the rent. The night after I was talking about that with Jennifer, Stan and I had been going all day long, and we hadn't eaten dinner yet, and the only place open was a Denny's. And so when we were there, I said, okay, I'm going to thank the Lord for the fact that this Denny's is open and has nourishing food for us. And I'm going to thank the Lord that he provided enough in the checking account to pay for this meal. And I've taken in littler steps the very advice Jennifer's given. And it also fits biblically, because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the Lord, will of God concerning you. It's just that Jennifer's taking it to another dimension that breaks the locked-in thinking that most of us have had from the Bible too long.
Right. And the thing about that, too, is when you're having a really bad day, it's really, really hard to be thankful.
Yes.
So don't, like, and I use this experience or this example because this is something I've experienced. There's been days where I've been like, oh, my God, this day is just terrible. And the only thing I had to start with, I was literally woke up not in a good mood. And I remember that day so clearly. And so I think it's probably important is I was so grateful that the coffee was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I poured myself a cup of coffee. I thought, okay, I'm grateful that this coffee is there because I was exhausted and I didn't want to get up and I had to go. So I was grateful for my pretty cup. I was grateful for the coffee. And I was grateful that I was sitting on my back porch and I was drinking my coffee. And then as you start pulling yourself into the vibration of being grateful, even though it's for something so simple as a hot cup of coffee, right? Then I was like, oh, I'm grateful that I can go take a hot shower in a few minutes. And I'm grateful that I have a car that I can take me to my next appointment. I'm grateful for the next thing I knew, I was in a much better mood. And so don't think it has to be some grandiose thing either. The same thing with gratitude. Start where you're at. If you're having a bad day, be thankful for hot water or hot coffee.
I am. My wife says, and I won't admit to it, I won't admit this to anybody, so nobody's going to know, but we were at a cabin at a place with Healing Water Resort and with another family in the same cabin. And I woke up and I was pushing people out of my way, getting to the car. And then the other lady said, what's wrong with David? Oh, he's grumpy. He needs to get his coffee. So let him have his coffee first. You know, the rest of the day, he's good. And so my wife, if she gets up before me, she brings me my coffee. And then let's go sit out in the back porch, you know, and everything is, oh, you know, I mean, I don't mean to be that way. I just don't understand what it is. You know, I'm a nice guy, but no, you could be me, okay, Jennifer? I mean,
yeah.
You know.
It's hard sometimes to wake up in the mornings. Like, it takes me a while to integrate back into it. But, you know, and I just want people to know that, like, you can be grateful for something simple. And if you can start that dialogue of being grateful for the small things, it can shift dramatically.
I believe that. I'm going to try that too.
You know, Jennifer, mm-hmm. your solutions are so simple in many cases. Why didn't we think of it? How come are we just stuck and we're not willing to open our mind or listen to our inner voice or something? Or why do we get stuck there and, you know, we just can't get out? Just, you know, somebody else comes along and says, ooh, look at that person. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
That's what she's talking about. The little voice in your head that's always playing that. You're always hearing that same negative talk, and it's our job to try to turn that around. So I love that analogy about how, you know, starting off small, and I'm grateful to have my beautiful cup. I'm grateful to have my cup of coffee. I'm grateful to just be sitting here. I'm grateful to have a hot, you know, shower getting ready to wait for me, a car with gas in it, because those things,
right?
I can get
yeah.
in the car, and then I turn the car on, and the light is on, like, go
it's
get me
automatically
some gas.
Empty. Right? Yeah.
And I said, Lord, please, just get me to work and get then let me park and then get me to the gas station after I've done my job, you know.
Right.
And, you know, so, and then I have to remember that this is what I asked for. And I got to work and I was done. And as I get ready to pass that gas station, I'm reminded that, hey, I know you had a hard day, but hey, let's get some gas. It'll be so exciting, you know. And so, because if you don't, you're going to be walking to the gas station. So, you know, I have to remind myself. So I like that you said that makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
You know what you said about small steps? I just don't know why. Maybe I'm clairvoyant and I get these visions. But that movie with Jodie Foster called Contact, and her husband was a preacher. And, you know, he was skeptical about the whole thing. So were the scientists and everything. But she went on this journey that they said didn't take place. But she met this being on another planet temporarily that showed himself as her father, and she wanted to have communications with her species, and there, and he said, small steps. So we're not ready yet. Small steps at a time. This is the first step. Small steps. And so that would have really made a big difference. So a human being here on Earth needs to improve themselves. You just can't rush right through and get there. You need to take small steps at a time. That's one of the things that you're trying to get across to us, right? Work on one thing at a time and move on.
Yeah, and it's really about just, you know, taking the small thing, taking small steps along the way and knowing that it's good enough. But more than anything, what I want people to understand is that, you know, they need to learn to love themselves too. And so it's, again, you have to do that in small steps. You know, I don't even know how to explain it, but you don't think about self-love. It automatically sounds selfish. But when you really look at it, again, there's biblical proof for this, because this I did research on, and I don't know the verses, but I know that it's there, that when Jesus needed a break, he would take one. And you've got to learn where you're at, what your boundaries are, where you can make changes, and what's ready. But the small steps, when you were saying that about the movie, I love that movie, by the way, just gave me chills. And I think it's because I feel like we're getting ready for a big awakening. I don't really know what's happening, but I have a feeling the next 3 years are going to be very interesting. And so I do feel like this book for a lot of people is going to be the small steps to just start being intentional about what they're even thinking about, so that then they can start developing more of a spiritual life, so that they're going to be able to be better equipped and able to handle what's coming.
Well, that's very provocative. I agree with you about some kind of awakening happening already. Now, other than what the example Kevin gave, which was an amazing example, that's totally right on. Read the book, take notes. It's like you're making a list of, look at the list, two lists, you know, what's good, what's bad, and what can you eliminate. Now,
and take away the judgment of what's bad.
Yes.
Like, look at it from a space of, okay, now why don't, you know, like, why is that? Like, I wonder what that means. You know what I mean? If you can take away that judgment, that'll make it so much easier to get through and make the changes.
So you have some people that love themselves, but they're stuck. Some people that hate themselves and they're really stuck. Is there, do you have a beginning step that when you give to them that makes them recognize that, you know, why do you hate yourself? That's a waste or something.
You know, everybody that I've worked with so far has been different. So I always start people in a different place. One of the basic things that I always do is teach people breathing, because so many people don't even know how to breathe. So they can learn to breathe to calm themselves down. But the one thing that I do know is that for me, the self-love thing was really hard. But I realized that every time I said I didn't love myself, I was telling God that he screwed up. And that was the big changer for me.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I never thought about that way. That's very, yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. You know,
and you know he did not screw up. So
exactly, because he tells us that we're wonderfully, perfectly made, and we have a purpose. So that was shattering for me.
While we have less than a minute left, Jennifer, this has been an amazing experience. Wish you great luck with your book. Please keep us updated about that. We'll have you on again. And it just, you know, it just felt good to hear somebody different on the show, giving us ways to improve ourselves from a different angle.
We
don't often think about. That's why we need, you know, your book, Embodied Grace, and then plus your new one. So, Jennifer, you know, thank you for being on the show, and Kevin and Sherelle, and all our listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Before you go, just tell us what you have coming up in this next week.
So this next week, I'm actually, I don't have anything particularly scheduled for this week. It'll be a couple weeks out.
That's okay.
But the best way for people to get a hold of me is on my Facebook page. So if anybody does have any questions, since we ran out of time and we're not able to take any questions tonight, that would be the best place to find me.
That is perfect. And Kevin, we don't want to leave you out. What do you have coming up for you?
Well, right now I don't have any particular speaking engagements or anything coming out for me. I know we're off the air right now. I do feel that, you know, the, you know, connection between Jennifer and I is something that the Lord intended. As far as actually whether we'll be together, I'm not certain at this point. But as you know, I feel like the Lord is doing this for a reason, Sherelle.
Absolutely.
And I was more than happy to, you know, let Jennifer have a new audience, you know, the listeners of Beyond the Gate, you know, to be able to share this. Because to me, when I first encountered Jennifer, her gifts, and her book, this is something unique. It's not the type of self-help books I've read. In fact, I put in the review that I had on Amazon of her book, I called it the self-help book for people who are fed up with self-help books.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is, and we're certainly going to read her book as well.
Yes, we are.
And give it a review. I mean, it's just been a great show. You know, we need to have something new on the show like this, and this is wonderful because a lot of people listen to the show for many reasons, including to hear something like this, you know. So,
well, I'm glad that Jennifer's been nudged to get her gift out there. I have personally benefited, as I said with David earlier.
And Jennifer and Kevin, we hope to have you back on Beyond the Gate Radio in the future.
I'd love to.
Oh. And I would love to as well.
Well,
I hope it's been a great experience for you.
Yeah, I know Jennifer had a great experience. You did, Sherelle did, and I did. And I'm speaking for everybody. We all did. It was great. And we're going to have this again. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the Sunday, June 12, 2016 edition of Beyond the Gate Radio. May you have a blessed and wonderful evening. Thank you, and good night, Jennifer, Kevin, and Sherelle.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank
good
you.
Good night. You're welcome.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.